And we'll say, eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful that we serve a living God. We are thankful that you're such a faithful God, majestic in all your ways, kind, patient, and tolerant of us. Father, we thank you for the many answered prayers from this congregation on behalf of members of this group that have been sick or have gone through some traumatic experiences. We praise your name for being a faithful God, but we know that we can count on you because you're faithful. We know that we can count on you because you invited us to be your children, and you also invited us to ask from you so you can show us how majestic and how powerful you are. So, Father, we thank you this morning for our Savior, who is a high priest, pleading on our behalf before you, even when we do not even know that we have offended you. Yet, in his goodness, he pleads on our behalf. So, Father, as we have gathered this morning to study a portion of your word, we realize that the human mind is incapable of focusing on anything that is spiritual apart from the ministry of God the Holy Spirit. So it is a request that God the Holy Spirit, the perfect communicator, will enable us to hear precisely what you have for us this morning. This is a request in Christ's name. Amen. We move now to Titus chapter 2, verses 7 through 8. Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. He reads in the NIV, "In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us." Now, this passage is the second content of instructions Titus was to deliver to believers. Now, there is a sense that we can consider these two verses as parenthetical, and that the passage is a digression since it does not directly specify a group that is to be instructed. You see, the first six verses of chapter 2 deal with the conduct of believers of various age groups, while verses 9 and 10 are concerned with the conduct of slaves. But verses 7 and 8 are concerned with instruction to Titus. Thus, in terms of the flow of instruction about conduct, Titus is required to pass on to believers there is a break. It is for this reason that we contend that the two verses before us could be considered parenthetical. Nonetheless, we can consider the two verses as not being parenthetical if we consider them as being concerned with a second group of believers in Crete, the teaching elders or pastors. In other words, we are saying that the way not to consider these two verses as digression or parenthetical is if we consider the instruction given in our passage as directed to pastors or teaching elders. But that Titus, who is addressed here, is a representative of all pastors or teaching elders of any local congregation. Now, as far as the passage goes, it contains a message that is directed to Titus, who is a representative of all pastors. Now, this message is that Titus should be exemplary in every way, paying attention to good works and teaching that should be done in such a way as to disarm the opponents. Now, since, as we have indicated, Titus is a representative of all pastors or the teaching elders of a local congregation, then we should say that all pastors or teachers, or teaching elders in this case, of a local congregation of believers should live exemplary lives in every way, paying attention to the areas of good works, to teaching of the word of God, so that they serve not only as examples to their flock, but so that those who criticize them will be put to shame, because they will be hard-pressed to find something bad to speak about them. Now, it is possible that as we examine this message, or this particular passage that we're looking at, that is for the most part directed to pastors, that some of us may take the attitude that the passage is addressed to pastors, and so have nothing to do with us, resulting in not paying close attention to the instructions of this passage. Now, this will be a wrong approach to the instruction of the Word of God. No believer should ever exempt himself or herself when there is a teaching of the Word of God, because the subject matter does not seem to concern that individual. Now, it is possible that the subject matter may not directly apply to you, but that does not mean that you should not pay close attention to learn what the subject matter is. Now, a good example of what I'm saying is that of the attitude of older women and older men when a teaching involves sexual immorality. Now, those who are really old assume that such a topic is of no concern to them, since they are in such a state in their lives where sex is of no concern for them one way or the other. But such an attitude forgets that believers are to be ambassadors of Christ, implying passing on the message from Christ to others. Now, this being the case, the older individuals could learn the word of God in the area of sexual immorality to use to help others, especially their grandchildren or other younger people that they may be prone to sexual sin. They use what they learn from the scripture to help such individuals. So the message we're concerned that is directed to pastors is another example. Now, you may say that it does not concern you because you're not a pastor, but you'll be wrong. We say this because unless you pay attention and learn what is given in the passage, then you will not be able to know what is expected of your pastor or a teaching elder. Consequently, you will not be able to evaluate whether you have a pastor who functions according to God's word. Hence, it is important that you pay attention to know what is required of pastors or teaching elders of a local congregation of believers. Now, that aside, to ensure you understand that the message of this passage is also directed to you, we will recast it in a way that implies it's a message for all believers. Now, the message then of this passage that is applicable to all believers is this: believers should be exemplary in every way, paying attention to good works, doctrines of the Word of God, and applying them correctly in order to shame other critics. Again, simple message. Believers should be exemplary in every way, paying attention to good works, doctrines of the Word of God and applying them correctly in order to shame our critics. Now we will expand this passage with this message in mind. But before we begin our exposition of the requirement of this passage, we need to deal with a small matter that concerns the beginning of verse 7 that I read in Titus chapter 2, the beginning of verse 7. Verse 7 begins in the NIV with the phrase, "in everything." Now, literally, the Greek reads, "with regard to all things." With regard to all things. There is a question as to whether this phrase belongs to this verse or to the previous verse, that is verse 6. So that the ending part of verse 6 should be read, "self-controlled in everything." In other words, take that part, put it back in verse 6. So you'll be reading the last part of it, be self-controlled in everything. Now again, you have to remember, the Bible was not given with verses and chapters. The Hebrew text wasn't written with chapters and verses, neither was the Greek text. If you see a manuscript where it is, everything runs together. There are no breaks. So, scholars have done us a great service. So when I say this chapter, verses, everyone knows where we're going to. That means that some of those demarcations of verses could be artificial. Now, so if we understand that, then we know it is possible to consider this phrase as part of verse 6. Since it makes sense to say be self-controlled in everything. It makes sense. However, doing this makes for an abrupt change from the instruction given to the various groups, various age groups in the local churches in Crete, to that given to Titus, and so also given to our pastors. So it makes for a smoother transition to another instruction of the apostle to Titus to take the phrase then as part of a sermon, just for smooth transition. Now, this being the case, the phrase "everything," I mean the word "everything," or literally "all things," touch on every matter of this life. Since for the believer, his or her faith is to affect everything he or she does on this planet. Although the translators, such as the New English Translation, take the phrase "in everything" as limiting good works, that we're going to see. Now, this notwithstanding, it seems to me that the phrase is intended to concern everything Titus does, and by implication, everything all pastors and believers do. In other words, one of the main things that you should go home with is there is a requirement that in everything, not some things, in everything that you do as a believer, your faith must be reflected in everything. That is very important. Because that's what's required of pastors, that's what's required of all believers, in everything. That is to say, you cannot separate your life into two. Oh, this is for work, this is for home. Or this is for home, this is for church. Or as some people say, that's only for Sundays. No. A Christian, everything you do should be formed from your faith. That is to say, it doesn't matter what you're doing. It must be something that your spiritual life will be considered. Anyway, this notwithstanding then, I still think that I believe that it is that the phrase is intended to govern everything. And so the issue is this. There is no distinction between what people call secular and sacred. For the believer, there's no such thing. Everything is sacred. Everything. No matter what you do. So every believer, everything a believer does, again, should be informed by his or her faith, and that what he does is governed by his or her understanding of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and by God's word. Now, I do say this. I am almost certain there is not a problem you can show to me that I will not 100% tell you is spiritual. No. Every problem we have on this planet is spiritual. Every one of them. I used to say, well, maybe 99%, but the more I study the scripture, the more I'm convinced every one of it. When I think about the fact of, if you really know how much paganism we Christians are involved in, it will astound you. Although we strive, but I'm just marveled of some of the things that I study. How much since the 4th century, actually 3rd century, the Church of Christ has been so much paganized. And we don't know it. And we keep wondering, why is there no power? Because you cannot mix worshipping God and idol at the same time. Which is rude. And we're going to see sometime that many of us are involved in that. One way we're worshipping God, the other way we're worshipping idol. And we don't know it. And that counts for us not being effective. So anyway, there is no way really in this particular passage to be exhaustive about what the phrase refers when it says all things. I'm not going to list 1, 2, 3 because it didn't. It is everything about your life. So consequently then, the apostle though listed specific examples of what he had in mind in two areas as we will consider shortly. So in effect, the word everything that begins verse 7 in the NIV is to be understood as a reference to both the function of Titus as the apostle's representative and his conduct, as this will cover all the affairs of his life. So in application, the phrasing in everything should be understood to cover everything you do as a believer and your conduct in life. Everything you do. I keep using that word, everything. Because we are not to separate. And I want to show you what I'm saying. This is, there's a few who run businesses. You have problem with your employees. I can assure you, sit down. Look at those problems objectively. 100% of the problems are spiritual. Every one of them. If you don't show up in time, what is that? Spiritual. Don't know how to be, keep to the word. Because when you sign, or you're hired, so I'm going to come to work here. What time? 8 o'clock. As soon as you say that, word has come out of your mouth. Then you should keep to that, unless something unusual happens. That's out of your control. Or they come in to work. Well, they want to do the most minimal thing they can do and get paid. What is that? Spiritual. Now, why is that spiritual, you say? Because the person is not thinking about the Savior. Can you, truly, unless you are just faking it, if you're truly devoted to Christ, I don't see how Christ will be looking at you and you will be on your cell phone texting when you're supposed to be working. How can that happen? And you see Christ looking at you. This is what I'm talking about. It's all spiritual. Everything is because people do not know the Savior, or they are not being informed by their faith, if they have one. Something, I've used employees, it can also be employers. There are some employers that are very unrealistic, uncaring, and all that. What is that? Spiritual. Because they're thinking about the profit. They're not thinking about people who are working for them. That is also a spiritual problem, because that shows you don't care. So everywhere you look at it,
That's an important phrase. In everything.
That's what, sure, we're focusing on pastors.
But it involves every one of us.
Everything we do. Anyway, be that as he may, once the apostle indicated that he was concerned with all affairs of this life in what follows in verse 7, he gives an instruction that to me is one of the frightening things about being a pastor or a teacher of the Word of God. Now, many Christians think that's an easy life being a pastor or a teacher of the Word of God. Now, this is further from the truth. Now, I suppose that a misconception comes from not understanding what the apostle says in the verse that we're about to consider. Furthermore, pastors or teachers of the Word of God, for the most part, do not understand or think seriously what the Holy Spirit states in the verse we're considering. There are some young people who want to be pastors or teachers of the Word of God, especially where pastors have given the impression that being a pastor is glamorous. Again, this is further from the truth. True, pastors or teachers of the Word of God are those who are looked upon by others because they are the most visible members of the local congregation as they attempt to carry out their function with respect to the local church. Thus, some create the impression that it is glamorous to be a pastor. But my friends, it is not. Now, one of my greatest fears as a pastor has to do with the verse that we are about to consider because of the enormous challenge it presents to me as a pastor. Now, a pastor is held in a higher standard of accountability by the Lord because he is supposed to hold forth the truth to others. It's probably because of the accountability level that pastors have that is one of the reasons the Holy Spirit, through James, cautions about desiring to be a teacher of God's word in James chapter 3, verse 1. James chapter 3, verse 1. He reads, not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Now, this is something. This is why I know sometimes, even as members of this congregation, there are things that you may not understand about pastors. Because they understand. Because of their knowledge. They may do things you don't approve because you don't know, but they know. And they realize that I'm accountable to the Lord. So I cannot afford to be, you know, involved in things that many people get involved in when I know better. That's what the issue is. Because, see, those who serve as pastors or those who teach the word of God are to be judged more strictly. In part because of the privilege given to them by the Lord of receiving special enlightenment of the Spirit that enables them to learn truths as they study the Word of God. In other words, you read the same verse as a gifted pastor because he reads from the Greek or Hebrew. But you read the same verse, and you will never get what he gets out of it. Very rarely. Because he receives a spiritual enlightenment from God. God the Holy Spirit. So this privilege puts them in a position that they are to influence others through their teaching. But it is not only their teaching that should affect others, so should their lifestyle. There's been, you know, many people a long time ago, they say, well, it doesn't matter. It's the message. It's not the man. That's false. Both of them are important. You can separate the man from his message, really. So it is the instruction of the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul to Titus as a representative of all pastors is given in that expression that I'm saying that's one of the reasons pastors, if they understand what we're studying, should be shaking in their boots. He says, set them an example. Set them an example. Or literally from the Greek reads, showing yourself example. Showing yourself example. Now this is because the expression, the word actually set of the NIV is translated from a Greek word that may mean to offer, to present, as it is used in the instruction of the Lord stated in Luke chapter 6 verse 29. Luke chapter 6 verse 29. Luke chapter 6 verse 29 reads, if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Now the expression, turn him to him the other also, is more literally, offer the other also. Offer. Now the word may actually, the Greek word may mean, to make happen or to cause. Thus, it is a word that Apostle Paul used in conveying to the Galatians that no one should bring trouble to him. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 17. It is, finally, let no one cause. Same Greek word translates satanly, and I have here stressed, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Now the meaning to cause, in the sense of giving rise to speculations, is actually used by the apostle to instruct against being involved in debates that are not based on the word of God, but on human opinions. Believers shouldn't waste time in those things, as is the instruction in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. First Timothy chapter 1 verse 4. First Timothy chapter 1 verse 4 reads, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote, that's how the NIV translated that Greek word, these promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. See that sentence, these promote controversies. is literally from the Greek, that calls questions. That's really how it is in the Greek, that calls questions. Now the Greek word may mean to grant or to show, as it is used by the Apostle Paul to convey God's provisions he grants to believers for their enjoyment, so that the Greek word is translated provides. Same Greek word translated provides in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. First Timothy chapter 6 verse 17 reads, command those who are rich in the present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides. Our Greek word is strongly provides here. With provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, what this says is, see, everything you need to have a meaningful life on this planet has been provided by you, by the Lord. Everything. Again, our problem is we don't know how to be appreciative of what He does in our lives, for one thing, and the other. We're so caught up with competing and comparing with other people that we don't realize or do not come to the point of being content with what He's given to us. But the truth is, everything you need for your life to be meaningful on this planet, He's been provided, so you can enjoy your life. Now, I know when I say things like this, because here it's talking about the rich, people think you have to have a lot of money to enjoy your life. That's false. You should know that. If money is what really makes you enjoy your life, tell me why all these people in Hollywood can sleep without doping themselves or change spouses like you're changing clothes. Tell me. What is it? So you know, that's not what will make you enjoy your life. Every enjoyment of life begins in the spiritual. Once you have that inner peace with the Lord, then you will enjoy your life. When there's no peace in your life, you can't enjoy. I don't care what you have. So when you have that inner peace, which has been provided through first the work of Christ on the cross, through His Spirit, through the written word and the Holy Spirit. When all this come together, you'll be a person on the inward part of you, you're filled with satisfaction. And that then spreads to everything else that you do. Anyway, when our Greek word is used in what is known as made a voice in the Greek, that's not much of equivalent of that in English as such, as the word is used in our passage of Titus 2, verse 7, the meaning of the Greek word is to show oneself to be something. To show oneself to be something. The apostle used a present participle that here has the force of a command. Now, this being the case, the apostle instructs Titus, and so all pastors or teachers of God's word, to ensure that they form the habit of showing themselves as examples to others. They must form that habit. In effect, they are not to show themselves as examples once or twice, but repeatedly, so that it is a habit they form. And as we're going to say, remember now, the example they are supposed to set is in everything. Not in something, everything. Of course, we're going to be focusing on some issues here, but that's the whole thing, in everything. Now, the word example used that is required of Titus and so all pastors and all believers. It's really translated from a Greek word that is used in different ways. Now, technically, the Greek word may mean design or pattern. Design or pattern of something that is to be reproduced as instruction given to Moses regarding the construction of the tabernacle. As we read in Acts chapter 7, verse 44. Acts chapter 7, verse 44. It reads, "Our forefathers had a tabernacle of the testimony with them in the desert. It had been made as God directed Moses according to the pattern, tupos." That's the Greek word translated here, pattern, tupos. So, that the pattern here, see, that means when Moses constructed the tabernacle, God has shown him a pattern of that tabernacle in heaven. The inner sanctuary is where Christ is now as a high priest. He showed it to him what it looked like. And so, he was instructed to build that tabernacle based on the pattern. Now the word, the Greek word also may mean archetype. The archetype. That is a model in form of a person or thing which anticipates or precedes a future realization usually given by God. Thus, Adam was regarded as an archetype for Jesus Christ in Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. It reads, "Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam." Who, look at that, Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. The one to come, Jesus Christ. Adam was a pattern. So there is some similarity in the sense of Christ and Adam. So, though Christ came in the human form. Now that clause, Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come, of the NIV, may alternatively be translated this way. Adam, who is a type of the one who is to come. There are many ways that Adam, the head of the old humanity, is a type of Jesus Christ, the head of the new humanity. I mean, there are other ways we can look at the type, but that's one thing that you did. This person stands at first of all humanity. The other one stands first as the head of the new humanity. The new humanity that's in Christ. The new people that we studied in detail in Ephesians that God created in Christ. Now the word, the Greek word may mean model in the moral life Hence means example then, pattern or model. It is with this meaning of pattern of conduct that Apostle Paul used our Greek word tupos in Philippians chapter 3 verse 17. Philippians chapter 3 verse 17. Join with others in following my example. Now you see, that's what we're looking at though, that pastors should be examples. Now, Paul didn't say, don't mind my example. Just listen to what I teach. He didn't say that. He said, yeah, join with others in following my example. Brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Now, it appears if you listen to the various meaning I've given to the Greek word topos, it will appear that our Greek word is used twice in this passage of Philippians. Because of the words example and pattern. But that's not the case. That's why we try to study from the original. Because sometimes it may look the same in English, but they're not quite the same. Here though, our Greek word is translated pattern. Since the instruction, join with others in following my example, is more literally from the Greek, become fellow imitators of me. Become fellow imitators of me. In other words, Paul is saying, mimic me. In my spiritual life, mimic everything I receive. And if anyone says it's not scary to say that, they must not be, something is loose somewhere. Because if you really, it should scare every pastor. That's what Paul says. And that's what he expects from all pastors to say. And those who teach the word of God. Now the translators of the NIV use the meaning model to translate our Greek word in some passages. Now they use it, firstly, when the apostle speaks of the lifestyle of the whole Christian community in Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7. First Thessalonians, because hold on Thessalonians, because we're going to move to the next part. I mean the second aspect of that book too. 1 Thessalonians 1:7 reads, and so you became a model. That's the same Greek word. You became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Now secondly though, they use the meaning model when the apostle informs the Thessalonians he and his apostolic team have given an example of hard work that the Thessalonians should follow. As stated in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. It reads, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 9 reads, we did this, not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. So that's here. So it is in the sense of model in moral life that the word is used in our passage. When it's telling Titus, teaching elders, all who teach, all believers, to be example, that's really what he's saying. Let's be a model. Thus, Titus and all pastors or teachers of God was are to be examples in moral life for other believers to imitate. Now, by the way, Apostle Paul is not the only person or the one through whom the Holy Spirit conveyed this truth, that those who are over the congregation of believers should be exemplary. So he did through Apostle Peter in instructing elders of local churches in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 3. First Peter, chapter 5, verse 3. He reads, not lording it over those entrusted to you, that's by being examples to the flock. In other words, if anyone see all these passages and still believe, it doesn't matter what your pastor is like, as long as it's teaching me the word, they're not being true to the scripture. Because it keeps telling us. That's why I'm telling people, it is not glamorous to be a pastor. It's daunting. It's fearful. If people are really honest with themselves. Because this is what the Lord keeps saying. You have to be the example for the congregation to see. And if that's not scaring to you, it is to me. Now, of course, we're talking about pastor, but really, remember, it applies to you. That means you expect it to be an example of people around you. So they can see you and know something about Christ. You're supposed to be an example. Anyway, it is required, though, that pastors or those who teach the word of God should provide believers models or examples to follow in the Christian life. Now, the apostle, as we indicated previously, is really not exhaustive in the areas in which pastors are to be examples, but he gives a sample of the areas in our passage. He just gives an example. Now, we know that he was not being exhaustive because there are other areas of examples that are expected of pastors that are not mentioned in Titus 2 verse 7. Since the list that we're going to be looking at does not include some of the things the apostle mentioned in a similar instruction given to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. First Timothy. Now, as we're going to this passage, I want to keep driving home that you, as a believer, you are being held to the same standard, that you should be exemplary. If you're a parent, for example, you should be an example to your children in everything, more so in the spiritual life. They should see that so passionately, that you're so passionate about your spiritual life, that it will affect them later in their life too. Anyway, here it says, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. All of these are not listed in the passage we're going to study. So that's why I say he just mentioned two areas. He wasn't being exhaustive, because when he says everything, that covered everything. But he's just going to be using some examples. So this is notwithstanding though, there are two areas of examples the apostle mentioned in Titus chapter 2, verse 7. There are two examples. A first area of example that Titus, and so all pastors should set good example, concerns good works. That's the first area, good works. Now it is this that is given in the verbal phrase of Titus 2 verse 7 that we're studying, when it says, set them an example by doing what is good. Now literally, this is where the Greek reads, showing yourselves example of good works. And I'm going to use mostly the literary translation. It's showing yourself example of good works. Now, so the literal translation reveals that the translators of the NIV were interpretative in their translation. For one thing, the word them does not appear in the Greek, although it's implied that the example expected of Titus and so all pastors is directed towards members of a given congregation of believers in Christ. Now this aside, the Holy Spirit through the apostle wants to focus on Titus and so all pastors. This is the reason for the use of the pronoun yourself that I use in the literal translation when I say showing yourself. Yourself. Now there is a tendency that pastors could forget to focus on their own spiritual life as they teach others. Therefore, the Holy Spirit, by directing the apostle to use the pronoun yourself, implies that Titus and so all pastors should focus on themselves to ensure that they have vibrant spiritual life as they carry out their function towards the congregation, since it is difficult to be an effective example without having a vibrant spiritual life. If you're not setting an example, it's because you don't have a vibrant spiritual life. It just doesn't come without being vibrant spiritually. Furthermore, the word doing of the NIV is really not found in the Greek text, and so it is an interpretative translation. Now the differences that we have pointed out do not mean though that the interpretation of the NIV is wrong, but it's just one of the ways to interpret the Greek expression. That's one of the ways. Now the problem of interpretation of the Greek concerns how we should interpret the literal phrase of good works, showing themselves example of good works. Now, so how do we relate that, or how do we interpret of good works? Now, there are at least three possible interpretations of the relationship between the phrase good works and the word example. There are at least three different ways. Now, a first interpretation is to take the word example as being about or being concerned with good works. Of good works means being about or being concerned about good works. A second interpretation is to take the phrase good works as answering the question of how Titus is to go about setting examples to others. He will answer that. That's the second interpretation. Now, it is this interpretation that is reflected in the NIV. In the Bible phrase when it says, by doing what is good. In other words, be an example. Now, the Greek word is say, the Greek say, of good works. But they say, by doing. That means, they're answering the question, how do you go about being an example? And this, their answer was, by good works. That's one way to interpret it. Now, a third interpretation is to take the Greek, to take the phrase, good works, as beginning a list of what constitutes the areas of example that's expected of Titus. Now, sometimes when I do this kind of thing, some of you get lost. I just hope you don't get lost that much, but you may tune off. You say, well, why is this laboring of good works? Now, this is because we have what's called a genitive in the Greek. That is, that can be interpreted at least 25 ways in English. So, you see, I've just given you, the NIV has one interpretation. So when you read one version and it doesn't agree with the other, it doesn't mean that they're originally wrong. It just means that those who interpret or translate use different understanding. So they're expanding what it means, that simple phrase in the English, of good works, has a lot to do in the Greek. Anyway, so the third interpretation, though, is simply to take the phrase good works as beginning a list of what constitutes the areas of example that's expected of Titus. Now, this interpretation means that we could translate the literal phrase example of good works as example, namely good works. See? Same thing. But now instead of saying of good works, example, namely good work. So all three interpretations make sense in the context, and so it's really difficult to be definitive as to what the apostle means. Nonetheless, because of the things mentioned in the rest of verses 7 and 8, it is probably that the apostle meant for us to understand the phrase good works as the first in a list of sample areas in which Titus should be exemplary. Thus, it is our interpretation then that we should understand the phrase good works in the literal translation as that we begin the list of two areas in which Titus should be examples to believers. Now, how should Titus, and so all pastors, be example of good works to believers? Now, to answer this question, we should understand what is meant by good works. Now, we make this assertion because there are many who are confused with respect to good works. By this we mean that there are those who think of good works as the way to salvation. In other words, there are those who think that they could walk their way into heaven. Therefore, they do anything that in their estimation is valuable to people or that will earn them some points with God. Now, these individuals ignore or are ignorant of the fact that the scripture is clear, though, that salvation does not depend on good works, as the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Paul, says for us in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And looking at clock here, it'd be a place to take break, and after break, we'll look at it.